that idea of the presence of the Holy Spirit being tangible, being, let's just say, felt, experienced, it is not a foreign idea in Scripture. In 1 Kings 8, when the ark was being brought into the temple, the glory of the Lord, it says, was so real, was so tangible that the priests were unable to stand in the presence of God. And in Acts chapter 4, after that, Peter and John brought healing to the crippled man at the beautiful gate. And then they had to stand before the council and the elders of the of Israel, and they were commanded that they should no longer teach or preach in the name of Jesus. Threatened, really. And they went back to their own company, it says in Acts chapter 4, and began to talk about the threats and the language that was used against them, and they began to pray. The whole group began to pray in Acts chapter 4. And they prayed near the end of that prayer in Acts 4 that they would be filled with boldness, that they would be able to speak as they ought to speak. The Bible records for us in Acts 4 that when they finished that prayer, that they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and the building even began to shake. And so it's not unprecedented biblically to really long for such an experience with God and the presence of the Holy Spirit that it would be tangible, that it would be real, that it would be experienced. Now, I do take a little exception to a thought. There's an idea that I heard from a dear lady in one of our new church locations. And she was excited about what was happening. I mean, it is exciting what's happening. I met with Pastor Jose Luis this afternoon for a little while, and he said, man, so many new people are coming. People are just excited. People will stand up and shout during the sermon. And like they want, like, this is good stuff. And I love Hispanic people because you don't have to ask; they'll just tell you how they're feeling about it. Okay, but this lady was saying, people are just going to drive by, and people are just going to be healed in their cars. And can I just tell you, I've heard that sort of thing for a long time, and it just is never going to work that way. It just never has worked that way. There's no Bible for that where people. Even when, come on, have you heard that sort of thing? They'll just be driving past the revival meeting and they're just going to be healed unbeknownst to them. Never ever has it ever, will it ever work that way. There's always some element of faith attached to you receiving your miracle. Even after they prayed in Acts chapter 4 and the building shook and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, the Bible tells that people brought the sick out into the streets in Acts chapter 5. So that Peter, when he walked by, that even his shadow would fall on them. And if this shadow would fall on them, the sick were healed. But the sick were expecting to be healed. They weren't getting healed unbeknownst to them. Like God just healed them in spite of themselves. So I'm just saying, there's times that you need to learn how to respond to the Spirit of God. You can sense. I almost interrupted the music earlier, but I think I just left it for this teaching moment. Man, there's times that there's a tangible presence of God. I know the Holy Spirit lives in me. I don't need a lesson on all of that. But there's more than one scripture we need to be considering sometimes. Everywhere Jesus went, obviously the healing power was there, but it doesn't record it that way every time for us. It does record for us that the power of the Lord was present to heal. And you might go, well, duh, Jesus was there. But no, there was maybe something, some faith in the crowd, come on. Maybe just who was there. Because Jesus went a lot of places and didn't heal anybody. He walked into a whole crowd of sick people at the fountain and pulled out one guy, healed him, and left a whole bunch of people sick there, okay? So Jesus didn't just go in and empty every hospital bed every time because he was Jesus. Are you following me? But I'm telling you, there's a time where you sense something's happening and you need something from God. You need to be like the woman with the issue of blood and press through the crowd and say, I'm not leaving here without what I need from God. We need to learn how to respond. And don't wait for the song leader or don't wait for the pastor to call something out. Almost, look it up, almost every healing and almost every miracle was initiated by the person needing the miracle in Jesus' ministry. Most miracles were not initiated by Jesus. Most blind people, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Somebody pressing through the crowd, a father saying, would you come and heal my daughter? A centurion saying, would you come and heal my servant? Almost every time it was initiated by the person needing. We have it backwards sometimes. Let's just learn how to respond. Tonight, I really thought we would be on the Jesus way. I assume that's because that's how we're starting Sundays. But as I've been, you know, praying and thinking about tonight's focus meeting, everything was about the Holy Spirit in my spirit. So let's go here. I am going to give you way more scripture than what you're going to be able to absorb. It is an actual teaching method that has to do with saturation. I'm going to give you more than what you can comprehend, but I want to create an overall impression for you so you may or may not be able to keep up with my ability to thumb through this, because I know where I'm going before I go there. So I'm going to go through scriptures in a rapid-fire way tonight, but I want to create an overall impression for you. So Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to begin there. Verse 15, see then that you walk circumspectly. It means that you're doing things carefully. You're doing things systematically. You're doing things with thought behind what you're doing. Not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. If the days were evil in this day, how many of you believe the days are certainly evil in our day? So what he's about to say would apply to us even more so today. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand the will of the Lord. Do not be drunk with wine. What happens when a person's drunk with wine? They've given control over to the wine, and now they're being led by the wine. Now they are not in absolute control of the situation anymore. They're doing things they wouldn't have normally done. Come on, something is controlling. And it's bad. It leads to ruin. It leads to problems. Can't tell you how many people I have to deal with because of addictions. Addiction. I've heard two different addiction stories today, this afternoon. You know, somebody's about to lose their kids because of their drug addiction. They're getting hotlined. Should get hotlined. They shouldn't be having kids in the homes with that kind of stuff going on. You know, somebody's, you know, lost their driver's license again because of their addiction and driving while they are being controlled. And come on, somebody, that's a bad way to be controlled. But there's a super, absolutely wonderful way to be controlled. It's called being filled with the Holy Spirit. Instead of something bad controlling you, instead of your temper controlling you, instead of alcohol controlling you, instead of your lust controlling you or whatever, the Holy Spirit wants to control and lead your life. Don't be drunk with wine, which is dissipation or ruination, or it leads to debauchery, it leads to bad things, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 1. I know this is a praise and prayer meeting. I'm going to do all my teaching tonight to lead us up to one prayer tonight. One prayer. One very focused, one very unified prayer tonight. And I don't know if I've ever done this before, but I'm doing it tonight. Acts 2, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there was a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat on each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Again, the theme tonight is being filled with the Holy Spirit. Do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Verse 16 reads this way. As an explanation of what's going on, Peter preaches from Joel chapter 2 in verse 17, and he says, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord." Now, in almost every belief system concerning the coming of the Lord, in almost every one, Jesus hasn't come again yet. I don't want to explain the one. It's just too complicated. But in my belief system, Jesus hasn't come again. Therefore, this scripture has to apply to us. This scripture has to apply to us in the same way that it applied to them. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, but in explanation, Peter borrowed from Joel's prophecy and said that the Spirit of God was being poured out on these individuals. And it didn't matter who you were or what you were. It was available to every yielded vessel. Look at Acts 1, verse 4. "And being assembled together, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You've heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.'" Verse 8, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So we see again this idea of being filled with the Holy Spirit being poured out, or being baptized with the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Spirit coming upon us. I've already referenced Acts chapter 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Look at Exodus. I bet you didn't think we were going to Exodus. But again, the theme is being filled with the Holy Spirit. Exodus chapter 28. Exodus 28, notice this in verse 3. "So you shall speak to all who are gifted artisans, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister to me as priest." But I want you to notice the phrase, "these artisans who were filled with the spirit of wisdom." Look at Exodus chapter 31, verse 1. "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, in all manner of workmanship, to design artistic works, to work in gold, in silver, in bronze, in cutting jewels for setting, in carving wood, to work in all manner of workmanship.'" Look at Exodus 35 in verse 30. "And Moses said to the children of Israel, 'See, the Lord has called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And he has filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom and understanding, in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship, to design artistic works, to work in gold and silver and bronze, in cutting jewels for setting and carving wood, and to work in all manner of artistic workmanship. And he has put in his heart the ability to teach in him, in Oholiab, the son of Ahishamach, of the tribe of Dan. And he filled them with skill to do all manner of work of the engraver and the designer, the tapestry maker, in purple and blue and scarlet thread and fine linen, and of the weaver, those who do every work and those who design artistic works. I find it fascinating that in order to describe these artisans, that they were full of the Spirit of God. That's amazing to me. Because we tend to put being filled with the Holy Spirit into one little bitty box. People that prophesy or speak with tongues or other gifts of the Spirit. And people will say things like, we just need more gifts of the Spirit. So if they don't see or hear something dramatic, they'll say, well, see, there's no liberty for the gifts in this place. But isn't that gifts? Isn't that being full of the Holy Spirit? People that God has gifted and filled with His Spirit to do specific tasks. Look, I'm not filled in the Spirit in the way that these people were filled with the Spirit. I can't draw stick figures to make you see whether it's a horse or a dog or a sheep or a camel or whatever. It all looks the same. I am not filled with the Spirit in that way. But I am certainly filled with the Holy Spirit. How many of you are impressed that I can pronounce the names that you read? I was impressed because I skimmed over those earlier in the day, didn't even try them, but I looked at them and I don't know if I was right or wrong, but I convinced you. That's being full of the Holy Spirit. For my art, for my craft, for my workmanship. But you know what? You have other duties and responsibilities that don't have to do with the house of God. But wouldn't it be good if you were full of the Holy Spirit in writing contracts or making whatever you make or doing whatever you do or teaching whatever you teach? Are you following me? This is just one example of what it might be to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But I'm telling you, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit in our everyday lives and whatever God has given us to do. We need to do it by the power of the Holy Spirit. Are you listening to me? We need to be filled with the Spirit of God. Can you give me a better amen? Look at 1 Corinthians 12. Because certainly we can go back to a more classic definition of what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12. I noticed this Holy Spirit filling much when I was a young person, because I answered the call of God to preach at a very, very young age and actually started preaching barely into my teenage years. Preached for a church meeting, first time, 14 years old, and was licensed to preach at 17. Michelle and I were dating in high school, and we'd go out to these country churches, small town churches, and did what they called supply preaching. I'd get a phone call, could you go to Meadville? Could you go to Hale? Could you go to Mount Moriah? Could you go to Salem? Could you go to where? All these places you'd never heard of, and I'd never heard of some. I'd heard of Meadville. All right, okay. Meadville people. I'd heard of him. But I didn't know. And I would stand up to preach, and stuff would come out of my mouth that I didn't even know I knew. Are you following me? It was like I was full of the Holy Spirit that made me a lot better at my job than what my natural ability allowed me to be. How many of you could use a good dose of that in your life? Come on. And a continual filling. There's no need for us just to struggle in our own ability or lack thereof when God's Holy Spirit is available to every single one of us, because that's what Joel's prophecy said. The Holy Spirit will be poured out on sons, daughters, male servants, female servants, old people and young people. That means everybody. And it doesn't have to mean some little boxed-in definition only. But it doesn't exclude those things either, because you might be uncomfortable with them. I had lunch with somebody this week who said, I can't explain, I don't know, I don't understand everything about what I've learned about the Holy Spirit, but I can't go back to my former lack of understanding either. You follow me? Everything doesn't have to make sense to our peanut brain that God's able to do. We started planting churches when it seemed like the exact wrong time to do such a thing. But that's what Spirit of God was saying to me. And I have just very few great abilities in my life. One of them is just obedience. I will do whatever God told me to do, whether it makes sense or not. And it makes really good sense in hindsight, usually. But we just completed, absolutely, no doubt about it, the best year of Cornerstone Church since there's been a Cornerstone Church. And there's been a Cornerstone Church since 1983. With more people in church. We got people showing up at church in Cameron that just haven't been in church at all. And they, first time they get to church, they say, we want to be saved, and when can we get baptized? Are you following me? God has just blessed us, and blessed us. Amen. And the only explanation for that is just we just did what God told us to do. And God confirmed His word with signs that follow. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1 says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant. I just don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to... And he says, so there, verse 4, there are a diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. I want you to notice the phrase, to each one. That means you. That means me. That means the person sitting next to you, in front of you, and behind you, and people who aren't even here. All of us in the body of Christ. He's giving gifts to us. Just because He's giving gifts to us doesn't mean we're utilizing them. Doesn't mean we're using them. Doesn't mean other people are benefiting from them. But He gives gifts for a purpose. And I'll read that in a second. There are diversities of activities, but the same God. Manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one, verse 7, for the profit of all. Do you see how we are not profiting, we're not benefiting as we ought to, because each one is not utilizing the gifts. There's so many people that are not filled with the Holy Spirit. There's so many people that are not being used by the Holy Spirit. And we all in the body of Christ suffer because of that fact. When we all should be profiting from our association with one another in the body, if we would all be filled with the Holy Spirit. Verse 8, for to one is given a word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another. I told somebody the other day, I said, I need more of you in my life. Because you have a discernment that other people around me don't have. And you've been hiding. I need more of you in my life. I need your gift and manifestation. I'm not profiting as much as I should. Because not everybody around me has this gift of discernment that you obviously have. It's a wonderful gift. Not everybody has it. I mean, obviously, there's all kinds of people that don't have it. But we wouldn't keep getting into the messes we get into if we had better discernment. So we need people with it to be a little bit more full of the Holy Spirit and more active and more open and more generous. And we need to surround ourselves in atmospheres where we have those kind of people around us. Are you listening to me? We don't all have the same gift. My artisan gift only flows through my mouth. Are you listening to me? I can't do anything with my hands that comes out art. So my gift must be vocalized. And some people don't want to talk at all, but the beautiful things they create musically or the things that we see is just so wonderful and so needed and so necessary. We need one another, but we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Where did I leave off? To another, different kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But the one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. Look at verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church. First apostles, then prophets, third teachers. After that, miracles, gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Do all have gifts of healings? No. Do all speak with tongues? No. Do all interpret? No. But on the other hand, there's a suggestion that somebody would represent all of these gifts. Or several somebodies. Like we should expect all of these gifts, we just shouldn't expect them all in the same person. They're not all going to be represented in your pastor. They're not all going to be represented in the worship leader or the Sunday school teacher. We need one another. We have gifts that are diverse. And the filling of the Holy Spirit is going to be manifested in different ways through us. But they should be being manifested. I don't know why I'm shouting that. You could say it just as easily. They should be manifested, my beloved. Chapter 14, verse 1. Just want you to see the first part of this. See, but the end of here, wait, back up to chapter 12, verse 31. But earnestly desire the best gifts. And yet I'll show you a more excellent way. I'm not sure if the best gifts are ranked in descending order. I don't know, you know, from wisdom down to tongues and interpretation could be. But to me, the best gifts, desire the best gifts, the best gifts is what I need right now. That'd be the best gift. You know, what's the best tool in your toolbox? Well, it depends on the project, depends on what you're doing, depends on what you need. I mean, if you need a Phillips head screwdriver, hammer's not real good right now. So we desire the best gifts. What does that mean? I think it means we need all the gifts to be in manifestation so that the one needed right now is always free-flowing. But that means everybody's engaged in the process because God uses people. People are just going to drive by and get it. It's really absurd when you think about it. God's going to use us as His vessels of righteousness. But we must be filled with the Holy Spirit. And we need to desire earnestly. In the negative, you'd call this lust. This idea of earnestly desire. It's a strong craving. What I'm trying to do tonight is throw enough salt on this thing so you get thirsty, so you get hungry for more Holy Spirit and more manifestation of the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit, so that you would crave what we are lacking. Have you ever been introduced to a new food? And you're like, this has been available like my whole life? And I just discovered it. Some of you haven't eaten a new food in years. I understand. Wow. That's trying to create that kind of craving in you. Chapter 14, verse 1. Pursue love and what? Desire spiritual gifts. You can stop right there. Go to Galatians chapter 5. Still have a few minutes. Just leading us up to one prayer. One prayer. Just one prayer. That's all it would take, wouldn't it? Just one really good prayer that we all agreed on. Instead of like hundreds of prayers that are all going in 100 different directions, what if we all prayed one thing tonight and earnestly desired that same thing? I think that could be powerful. Verse 16, chapter 5, Galatians says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of your flesh. We don't have to remind you what the lust of your flesh are, so we'll jump down to verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. What wouldn't be better in your life if all of those qualities were controlling your thoughts, your words, and your actions? We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Look at Acts 13, verse 52. Some of you do follow me on social media. It's the only reason I probably have social media, and to get a random picture of my granddaughter, but I get texts almost every day of those, so I don't need that. But the reason I do is to maybe put out thought-provoking ideas and so forth. And in the group that we've been part of most of our adult life, the prophets always prophesy at the beginning of the year. And the word of prophecy always rhymes with 5 or 4 or 3 or 13 or whatever, you know. And I'm like, what rhymes with 16? I don't know. I got one word, joyful. That's the only word I got for this year. On all of my goals, my top goal in every area of my life, have more fun. Does that sound juvenile? That sounds like the prayers my kids prayed when they were little. Okay, you know, name a kid. Will you pray for our day? Lord, help us to have fun today. Remember when your kids were little? That was the main thing. But didn't Jesus tell us that being part of the kingdom was like becoming a child, and you really can't even be part of the kingdom unless you become like a little child? So maybe it's more profound than you really think. Lord, help us to have fun today. What would not be better in your life if you were having more fun? Joy is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Look at this, Acts 13, verse 52. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. You mean if I'm full of the Holy Spirit, I might simultaneously also be more filled with joy? Looks like it. Look at Romans chapter 15. Let every word be established by the mouth of two or three witnesses. So I'll give you two. Romans 15, verse 13. Now may the God of hope. Don't you like that phrase, the God of hope? Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Here's our prayer. Twofold. The first has to do with just repentance. Lord, we're just so sorry that we have been full of everything else. Full of the wrong thing, full of unnecessary things, full of just, let's just say wood, hay, and stubble, just worthless things. They're not even wicked. They're not evil. They're not even sinful. But it's just filler. Right? It's just stuff that didn't matter and didn't benefit. So if it didn't benefit, then ultimately it does hurt you a little bit. Not wicked, not evil. But I think we need to repent. We've been drunk with wine, so to speak. We've been filled with a lot of other things. Some of them harmful, some of them just unnecessary, and some of them it was just not the best use of our time, resources. So I think the first half of our prayers is say, Lord, forgive us for being full of the wrong. But the second half of the prayer is very simple. We have this strong, almost craving for more Holy Spirit in our lives, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And whatever that means for our life, it can be wisdom, it can be ability, it can be power, it can be gifts, it can be revelations, it can be words. It could just be joy and peace. Let's repent. Father, we ask tonight that you would forgive us for being drunk with the wrong thing, being full of the wrong thing, being led by the wrong thing. Some of it wicked, some of it sinful, some of it evil, but most of it just useless. Lord, we repent tonight. Forgive us. And as a group, Father, tonight, and individually, we ask, and you ask in your own words, we ask you tonight to fill us with your Holy Spirit. Baptize us with the Holy Spirit. Let your Spirit be poured out upon us tonight, we pray. Fill us, the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of wisdom and might, the Spirit of counsel, the power of God, the peace of God, the joy of the Lord. We stir up the gifts of the Holy Spirit that are within us tonight, and we release them for the profit of all tonight. Fill us. Fill us. Fill us with the Holy Spirit, so that your people would be healed, delivered, and set free and made whole. Fill us tonight with the precious, powerful, wonderful, glorious Holy Spirit. You stand up to your feet and just join hands with the people that are around you right now. Lord, fill my brother, fill my sister with the Holy Spirit right now. Fill this person with the Holy Spirit whose hand I'm holding right now. Fill them. Use them. Heal and restore them by the power of the Holy Spirit now in Jesus. Fill this place with your presence and teach us how to respond to your powerful presence. Fill us now in Jesus' name. Fill us now in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We love you. God bless you. Remember that we are receiving special offerings for the orphans in Myanmar. As you're denying yourself, please consider using those additional resources to bless somebody else. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you on Sunday.